Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 10 of the 5-Minute Major podcast coming out of the great city of St. Louis. It's been another fantastic week of hockey, man. Like, just nothing but greatness. Like, I love this sport more and more every day, and it's just amazing. Today, we're going to discuss the three Blues home games from this past week, including the home opener. And then we're going to kind of go through some news breakdown. And it kind of just turned out that most of it's about the Central Division, which is great. So probably some stuff that all the fans that are listening are common of hearing and news that they probably want to hear about. And then we'll give thoughts and opinions on everything. The Avalanche are currently playing right now, and I think LA and Anaheim are playing right now at the moment of this being recorded. So we might give you a live update eventually if this goes long. How are you feeling, Josh? I know I'm not feeling 100%.
Yeah, you know, I finally have my voice back, so bear with me, folks. It is, lost it last Thursday, and we've been struggling to get it back ever since. But, We're here, still recording. We're going to knock it out because we can't fall behind, can we?
No.
So
no, what did they say? It's like you get the 10 and then you get the 20 episodes and then it's like no time, you're at 100, stuff like that. So or most podcasts don't make it to 20. I don't know. Anyway, we're rambling already.
We're doing great. We're thriving and surviving here.
Yeah. Okay, I'll start it off. We have a couple quick things. Everyone knows Jake Ottinger signed 8 years, 8.25. I guess 8.25 million is the number for goalies. To Jeremy Swayman. Besides Shesterkin, he obviously wants more. And then, of course, Malkin broke 500 goals, and then Crosby broke 1,600 points. This guy,
he's a legend.
He's gonna possibly get another 100 points this year. This guy's sick, nasty, aging like fine wine.
Oh, yeah.
Cool little stat. Crosby was the lone assist on Malkin's 500 goal. And then back in 2022, Malkin was the lone assist on Crosby's 500th goal. So that's pretty fucking cool. Those guys are like sewn at the hip. Really cool to see. They're kind of turning back the time, too. I think Malkin was leading the league in points going into yesterday or the day before. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you have to say?
Yeah. No, I think it's one of those that, if you have an opportunity to see Crosby play before he retires in the next 4 years, 4 to 5 years, I would assume, take every opportunity because this is a generational talent. And I think I've taken it for granted a little bit more than I should have over the years because Crosby is just a freak of nature. And I love getting to watch him for sure.
Yeah, I think I've only seen him like twice.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy, but I guess Pittsburgh is they're only here like once a year, if any.
Yeah, we used to never play them here, so that was the hard part.
Yeah, I think I've seen him one time, and I'm pretty sure he had like 2 points in the game. So, typical Crosby. Anyways, let's get into some central rivals, man. We want to give props to the team that won yet again tonight against Crosby and the Penguins 6-3. The Winnipeg Jets are 5-0. I think they're 5-0 to start the year. If you guys turn the tapes back, we gave them a lot of shit and we kind of said they weren't going to make the playoffs. Even last episode, I think I said I still don't think they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, they're
obviously
good.
Obviously, it's early, but they look really good. The adversity's there. They seem to just don't give up leads, and if they aren't in the lead, they just take it and take it and take it. They won by 3 goals tonight. Like, unbelievable stuff. They're making us eat our words, and it kind of sucks because I really want the Jets to suck, so it gives us another chance to get up in there. But there's other teams sucking, which we'll get to. But what do you think of the Jets, man? Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the real deal, as much as I hate to admit it. I hate it. I really do. But like, we will be the first to admit we screwed up. We said they weren't going to be as good and, they're awesome. And I'm worried about them. They may be the team that's number one in this division by the end of the season. It's going to be them in Dallas. So I'm looking forward to this battle. They're mean, they're big, they're fast, they're skilled. They're everything the Blues were striving to be in the last 5 years. And they're doing it at 1,000 miles an hour. So, phenomenal team, great coaching. Kyle Connor, I love that guy. He, yet again, out of the gate, stud. And then Connor Hellebuyck is also getting a little bit of help here. So, maybe he's going to be good by the end of the season for playoffs. So, Winnipeg, I got nothing to say bad about you guys. No. You're winning games by a lot. So, more power to you. Go Jets.
Yeah. Even when they give up three, they score six.
Yeah.
And Hellebuyck wasn't even in tonight. Comrie, what he made, what is that? He made 39 of 42 saves.
42, tonight. Yeah. That's insane.
That is, or 39 of 42 shots, I should say. He was locked in nonetheless. And
they need that.
Before this year started, I said they don't have anybody to back up this guy. And Hellebuck's going to be dog tired yet again going into the playoffs. But we'll see. Maybe Comrie's that guy. Isn't he like an old timer now? Anyways, Hellebuyck,
like
he
31,
needs
132. So
if
he's
if Hellebuyck can play 10 less games,
oh, you're golden.
That means he can win 10 more in the playoffs. So, yeah, and that's over halfway to the finals. So we'll see what he can do. Unbelievable stuff from the Jets. Props to you. We'll see what happens. It's only five games, of course. There's a lot of hockey to play. Let's go to the teams that we thought were going to be up here. The Colorado Avalanche, like we said, they're playing right now tonight.
They're terrible.
They have officially started the season 1-4-1. We talked about them last episode, dude. Like, they're off.
And no goalie.
They aren't built to win.
No.
And like, this is Avalanche fans are probably saying what Blues fans said the past few years, like, what are you doing? Where did everybody go? This is sad. Like, yeah, stuff like that. You know, you just got to trust. But honestly, Sakic, I don't know what he's doing. It's interesting. The injuries aren't helping either. Like, half the team's hurt. It doesn't help. And they're already missing a bottom six entirely.
Yeah, their bottom six is the worst bottom six in the NHL. I'm sorry. Like, you are awful.
It's just crazy. Like, in their one win, they did get some bottom six scoring, but ultimately it was McKinnon and Rantanen and like getting the bulk of the points. McKinnon, Makar, and Rantanen are top 10 point scorers in the league right now. And when your team's 1-4-1 and they're only up one against the Ducks in like the third period, something's wrong. I just don't think that Makar is good defensively when he's not with Devon Taves, and Devon Taves is hurt right now, and that is not good. Because I'm pretty sure I saw like his defensive efficiency just drops heavy when certain people are on the ice or not on the ice, and that's not good. He will score points. I'm pretty sure he's leading all defensemen in points.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has nine points right now, actually. Yeah. 8 or 9 points, because he's number one and Broberg's at tied for fourth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he used to be a two-way kind of defenseman that could play shutdown D. He really has shifted more towards the offensive dynamic, because that seems to be the way Colorado focused their team. They were run and gun, score, and we'll just outscore everyone and we'll worry about defense later. It's not working. And I don't know what the future for this team is. You don't have a goalie. You don't have great youth, in all honesty. You've spent a lot of money on the few players that are producing, but you forgot to fill out the depth pieces. I'm sorry, you can't win a game with just five players. So you needed to spread the wealth a little bit or make some hard decisions and move one of your superstars to get two middle tier pieces that could really help you. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's a confusing time for Avalanche fans. We feel for you.
Yeah. Retool, rebuild. I don't know where they're at.
We know the feeling. Don't get discouraged if you are an Avalanche fan. You guys still have the pieces to like do really well. It's just you aren't clicking right now. also there does need to be moves, like Josh said. Like, you need your
goalie
to feel some sort of pressure. I think he's so stagnant that he's the number one. I think a Noonan doesn't know how to, like, try and take the position over, even though I mentioned he was going to be the breakout player. Like, like I said before, it all stemmed from not getting either Fleury or going harder at somebody else like Markstrom. Markstrom's a cheap goalie and he's fantastic. And now the Devils are reaping the benefits and Colorado's not. And they've traded some more defensive pieces like Bo Byram, like I mentioned before as well. Now they're just like, it's all offense. And they honestly, like you said, only have like five players to score. We'll see. I'm not discouraged by them. I still think they're going to be good enough to win some games. I just don't know if they're going to be third in the Central.
Well,
I
think at this point you got to look at a wild card unless you turn it around.
Yeah.
But they're just digging a hole in the beginning of the season. We saw the Blues do that, and it is not the recipe for success. And the one thing, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here for a second. What about Jake Allen? He's a backup that's playing decent. What would he cost? They have the pieces to sell to New Jersey. They have the draft capital. Jake Allen solves a lot of issues in net for them. As much as I would hate to see him in an Avalanche jersey. Jake Allen, I think, would be a solution for a lot of their problems.
Yeah. They have to consider shopping. We'll see.
Yeah.
If, I mean, you can't win a championship without a goalie.
No.
Like I said, man, I can't stand Georgiev. I think he's horrendous, and he's showing it finally, and people are waking up after the past 5 years of me saying it. So we'll see. Avalanche fans, lock in. Just keep cheering on your team. We know the feeling. You still have three literal superstars, and you got a bunch of hurt players right now too, so who knows what happens when they come back.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to Smashville. This is worse. The Predators, they locked in some Stanley Cup winning players, some fantastic defenders. They seem to be stacked. I don't know what's happening there. They cannot win games. They can't score. Like, I don't know if Saros is playing well. I haven't looked into that, but they're winless. 0-5 through the first week and a half, 2 weeks of the season. Yikes. Yeah, Josh, you said it. They're not clicking.
Yeah.
And Stamkos, what, scored his first goal in game 4. Marchessault only has like one goal. Like, I don't know.
It's bad, and I don't know why they have all the superstar in the world, but I think it's too many new faces that are predominantly leaders in locker rooms. So I think there's almost too many captains to this ship right now, as much as I hate to say it. Saros is sitting at 4 games played, 3.64 goals against, and an .875 save percentage. Yikes.
Dude, I feel like he's just doing his best, though. He's still a Vezina caliber goalie. Who knows what the defense is doing? And he's not.
Wedgwood's even worse. Yeah, Wedgwood's got an .800 save percentage. So
that was an interesting pickup.
Yeah.
That Askarov trade made sense to send him to San Jose because Saros is your guy. So I guess you have to kind of go after a lower tiered backup. But I don't. That's not the problem. The problem is the offense isn't scoring, and like, there's just too much pressure on them to be so, so good. We'll see if they figure it out. I think they end up doing that. I think this team, if any team that's sucking, this is the team.
Yeah,
that's going to turn it around. There's too many vets that have won before for this shit to keep going on. The Avalanche, will see. This team for sure is going to turn it around. I'm almost not worried about it. Until it gets to like game 10, you've won 2 games, you'd be like, okay, you gotta fucking move somebody. You gotta send somebody down, move somebody up. You made a great point. I think there might be too many leaders. That's a problem to have. There's teams without leaders. There's teams with too many. Sometimes you got to move people. Maybe the locker room dynamic isn't as pretty as people think it is. Like, that happens. It is what it is. It's not just a business. These people are human beings. They might not click.
Yeah, and I think the big thing, and they were talking with Matthew Joseph, and he's played for Tampa, he's played for Ottawa, and now he's playing for the Blues. And he said, you know, when I got to Tampa, it wasn't easy because they drafted me. My first year in Ottawa, it clicked immediately, like 10 games in. But my second season, it was a struggle. So even if last year they were locked in like they were, it's a whole new season. All new chemistry, all new lines, and a lot of different players that are expected to be superstars. And, I mean, Forsberg, yet again, leading the team in goals, which is only 2, which isn't great. Leading the team in assists, which is 3, which still isn't great. And 5 points leading the team. So Forsberg will continue. He's a superstar. He will always show up. He thrives in Smashville. But, I mean, was the money they spent on these guys going to be worth it? That's going to be the real question. And they spent a lot of money on guys that are older. They're up the mid-30s. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens going forward with this team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. They kind of took the Edmonton Oilers route, but they still did it better than Edmonton. They're just not clicking right now. And they also don't have Connor McDavid. We'll see. I still think Nashville's going to be fun to watch. It'll happen. Just wait. Stick in there, Preds fans, even though we do not like you at all.
They'll find their game when they play the Blues. They always seem to. So yeah. Don't worry. We're on the way, folks. We'll help you find your game.
We'll help out eventually. All right. Speaking of the Blues, great segue. Let's talk about the 3 games we just watched this week. The home games, the home opener. Then we had the Islanders, and then we had the Hurricanes. Some East Coast battles. We went to the home opener. We were excited. The last episode, we predicted a win. We thought we were going to come out hot. The crowd was going to be lively. I mean, it was.
It was.
Not in the right way. We lost big time. 4-1. The Wild just dominated us. I honestly didn't have much good to say about how we played. Also, the referees were just brutal.
Yeah.
They made like 3 bad calls, like bad calls. Also, we got some unlucky bounces, like just trying to
bring off the stanchions. Like
Letty was playing hurt. Like, I don't know. We got a bunch of excuses, right? But 4-1, Wild over the Blues. Hartman scored a power play goal from Kaprizov in favor. Lauko shorthanded. That killed us, truly, the shorthanded goal. He just manhandled Kairou. And then
a reverse check on a freaking breakaway. It was brutal.
Like, makes Kairou look weak as fuck, which he is, so... He needs to toughen up and fucking get big. He needs to eat some steak and just go lift some weights, bud. Okay, 3rd goal. Rossi from Zouk and Kaprizov. That's 2 points for Kaprizov. And then we got on the board. Matthew Joseph from Bolduc and, of course, Philip Broberg. Legend already, man. He's lighting
love him
up. And then the laughable one. The goaltender, Mr. Gustafsson, scored a empty net power play goal to end the game. Yeah. Unreal. Like, I can't even be mad. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like, Fleury was like, I saw the quote that he was like, you just shoot at the net. Like, he told him during the timeout, shoot it. You know, and he did, and he scored. That's so funny. And then Gustafsson made the comment, oh, I think they could need to put me on the power play drills from now on. So... It brought them to have some chemistry. It was hilarious to watch the end of it. Like, we were in the car ride home. We left like with 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
We were like, this is over. And then we heard the call from Curbs and we were like, fuck, that's the story of this game for sure. Wild 40% on the power play, 2 for 5. We were 0 for 2. Our power play sucks so far this year. But we did win 55% of the faceoffs.
We are a faceoff master of a team.
Thanks, Steve Ott. Let's run through some positives. What do you have?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. We outshot them in the first period, and we were peppering them. Gustafsson kept them in that game. Like, we came up, I think the score and watching the game were very different. Letty did look awful. Some terrible bounces and some terrible calls. But positive, we came out of the gate pretty strong, I felt like. But we were still building an identity in that game. And I think we were just lackluster after the first period. So I don't know. There's not much I can say that was great about this game. I think the best thing that came out of it was the Letty or the Parayko Suter pairing at the end of the game. That is still going multiple games after, because Letty needs to figure out his health before we even think about bringing him back.
Yeah. I agree. I think Parayko and Suter honestly looked okay. And then of course Binnington looked solid as always. He made some pretty crazy saves. He also just was like had no help in front of him. So I do agree that we were peppering. I don't think any of them were high quality. I think from what I remember, it was just a pepper. Like it was just like pass save here, pass save there. Nothing like, oh my God, Gustafsson.
Yeah. We held Krill did not have a single shot technically in that game on net.
He did make some great passes, obviously.
Yeah.
but he always fucks us up.
Yeah.
I have positives. We looked fast. We won a lot of the faceoffs. That's good. And then, of course, Binnington. It could have been 7-1 the way we were playing in our own zone. Yeah. But we did look really fast, and I think that's a big part of what Army tried to build this offseason. So that's good. Some negatives. Our passing was fucking
bad.
Awful. Like, Kiwi, bunch of six-year-olds out there trying to make a pass and accept a pass, like breakout plays. Everything was fucked. I genuinely cannot think of a play that was good. That's bad. Not even just a breakout play was good. And then, of course, we got unlucky with bounces, and just it was all bad. Mistakes lead to other unfortunate events, and we made way too many mistakes. And then, of course, it almost felt like Minnesota just had the entire zone in their end, and then they also had the neutral zone. So we automatically had lost 67% of the ice because we didn't cover shit in the middle of the ice either. It was just bing, bang, boom, they're in, and I'm like, where are the sticks? And then on breakout plays, our forwards are already at the other fucking blue line. Like, it was just bad, bad. Yeah. What do you have to say? Negative.
Yeah.
Go on and on. I don't want to talk too
much. They look like the team that got Craig Berube fired, honestly.
That's a great point.
They had no identity. They had no continuous offensive time. It was all off the rush. Mm-hmm. There was no dump and chase. There was no playing in the corners. There was no getting to the dirty areas. It was pitiful. And I think they'd be the first team to admit.
Yeah.
Pitiful. Also, this is not a recipe for success if you're not scoring on the power play. We can't go all season with a terrible power play again. So get the power play fixed, because that was painful to watch. We couldn't get it past their blue line. Like, it was awful. And the next biggest thing was the back end. Letty looked, that was probably the worst game I've seen Nick Letty play. And I do like Nick Letty.
At least as a blue. At least as a blue. We weren't sure before, but as a blue for sure.
Yeah. And it was just bad plays. But also like freak of nature plays. Like that's the other thing. Like the Kyra goal should have never been blown down. That right there crushed the momentum, and then the arena spent more time cheering against the referees than they did for the team after that. Like, it was painful.
It was loud.
It was like a playoff game of booing.
Boos.
Yeah. Like, I wish I would have got a video of it.
Broke out four times at least. When Louis was banging the drum, the doom, doom, doom to say, let's go Blues. They said, ref, you suck.
Yeah.
It was bad, bad. The whole vibe was off. 100% true.
And honestly, was not impressed with the opening ceremony this year either.
It was same as last.
It was boring.
I just feel like they don't want to go all in yet. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was okay. Okay. next point. What should we keep doing? What did we do right, and what should we keep doing going into the next game, which was already played, of course?
Yeah. I think we both have this one. Face-offs. Keep winning face-offs. I think they're only going to get better with that. And when you get Sonny and Texier back with some other guys that can help with that, you're only going to get better. Keep fighting for each other. They do clear the net. They do stand up for each other. This team is definitely one that is looking out for each other. It's not an individualistic team this year. And I think Pareko has more grit to him this year. So
it's good.
Keep fighting, keep building chemistry, and keep winning faceoffs were kind of the big factors for me.
Yeah, I agree. Basically the same exact thing. Keep skating hard, keep winning faceoffs, keep laying the body if you can, and if there's a scrum, get in it.
Yeah.
All right, things to work on. I'll start. breakout passes. Just make them. I don't know what else to say. Like, forwards need to stay back and give the defenders someone to pass to, and they don't. Better coverage in the neutral and in the D zone, which means laying a body on someone and being physical in the corners and getting your stick active in the passing lane. As much as Josh said, we shot the puck a lot. We need to be on net. I think Jordan Kyrou is one of the worst at missing the net. And Robert Thomas, they're both just, they miss the net way too often for being good hockey players. And then of course the power play, like you mentioned, and we need to get some zone time. Like you said, that was rush hockey for fucking 60 minutes. It was awful. I remember sitting there and you had to tell me to shut the fuck up, because every time we got the puck, I was like, here we go. Just blah, 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 like being negative Nancy. And you were like, shut up. And I was like, yeah, I know. I probably should shut up. But it's hard not to. Like,
no, it was bad.
Your team play like shit. You're like, fuck this, man. What do you have?
Yeah, you know, I think working low in the zone, like dump and chase, work the corners, play from behind the net and feed the puck out. Mm-hmm. High to low, low to high. That's the biggest thing, is that this team skates fast, but if they move the puck, they look a whole lot faster. And crisp, clean passes are what we have to improve on.
Yep.
And that helps the power play. And that improves this team substantially. The next thing, though, is you have to find someone that has chemistry with Robert Thomas on that first line. Because right now, it is awful. And I think the number one issue right now is Buchnevich is having to play center on your second line.
Yep.
Buch needs to be back with Thomas. And I hate it, but probably you need a line of Booch, Thomas, Neighbors. And that's your first line. Second line, you're looking at Schenner with Kyrou and someone. But I really like the third line the way it is with Holloway, Shen, and Joseph. So you're looking at Saad, Kyrou, and whatever center you can find. Texier, I don't know. Like, but that's going to be a rush line too. Like, yeah, there's no one that's going to go into the corners. So I don't know. Dvorsky, figure it out, man. We could use you. That right there solves a lot of the issues. Or Shen moves up, Fox moves up, and Sundqvist is playing fourth line center for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It all depends on his health.
Yeah.
I don't mind Walker fourth line center, but they just know that Sonny's, when he comes back, he's playing. So,
Cappy, honestly, like I feel like Cappy brings a different level to the, he's fast, but I don't know what else he's going to do. He does bring up some good points that I have on him in the next two games, but I feel like Cappy is probably going to have to be in this lineup too, to help you.
Probably. Yeah. Just another vet that yep. knows how to play basic hockey. All right, a couple more points from that first game. Kyrou and Thomas just need to make better passes.
Simple plays.
They always try to do some cute shit at the blue line. It gets intercepted. We saw it live, man. It was on the power play. Just dump and chase. You have an extra body on the ice. You'll win the battle like 9 out of 10 times if you just fucking skate, which you can. But instead, we're trying to do this stupid fucking set play where Thomas barely crosses the line and creates space for Kyrou to take up a little drop pass, like with literally this much space.
Yeah.
And it got intercepted like 9 out of 10 times. They tried to do it. And I'm like, just dump it in, you know, play boring hockey. It helps you score goals sometimes. And yeah. Simple, simple, simple. Like Craig Berube said it all the time. It's like, sometimes we just got to make simple plays. Sometimes you got to dump a chase. Sometimes you got to fight in the corners. Like, that's hockey, baby. Like, if you want to win a cup, man, you can't be cute. And then, of course, Letty, he's hurt. He played yeah. hurt. He looked like shit. Now he's out on IR. But he looked bad. Even
it's
before
bad.
We knew he was hurt. Like the first couple games were like,
he had been out there for almost, I think, 8 goals against.
He was just brutal. Even on the road trip, we were like, oh man, that's not good.
Yeah.
And then of course he comes out and gets hit in the foot, and it hurts his foot even worse than probably what it was.
Yeah.
We'll see. When he comes back, we hope he's better and back to the old Leds. We know, steady Letty, like he looked in the preseason. Anything else on that first game?
No, I'd like to just close the book on that, because that was, I'd like to forget that ever happened.
I would too, because the next two are a lot better. Okay, home opener happens. We're all mad. Shit. Okay, next game's 2 days from now at home again. We play the New York Islanders. It's October 17th. The Blues win 1-0. 1-0. I can't remember the last time we were in a game that was 1-0.
Yeah.
What a game, dude.
Joel Hofer, man. Joel Hofer is the headline of that game.
He's the headline of the next, dude.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
He looked fantastic this whole year so far. Better than Binnington. Yeah. Crazy. Binnington's got to lock it in. Neighbors, the overtime winner, assisted by none other than Philip Broberg again. This guy is so locked in. And, of course, Joel Hofer. So he had an amazing game. The Islanders 0-2 on the power play. Us, again, Hofer on the power play. Come on, man. It was one chance, and we still didn't take it. And we lost the faceoff battle, too, by only 3% points. So it was close, but still.
Helps when you have Bo Horvat taking faceoffs.
Yeah, Bo and like Brock Nelson and all those guys. But the Joseph brothers, that was the first game they played in together in the NHL. That is super cool.
That is the first game they've actually played together ever.
Really?
On that same team. No, they talked with their parents. They had never played on the same team ever.
That's so funny. Their parents are the cutest thing ever.
Oh, they're the sweetest parents in the world.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the videos or the pictures, you got to look them up. The funny thing is, they took back-to-back penalties in the game.
Well, so, you know. Hey,
they do everything together as brothers. The positives, of course, better everything.
Yeah.
The neutral zone and D-zone coverage was better. We had 30 shots on net. That's better. Our PK killed 2 penalties. That's better. We laid 30 hits too. That's better. And then of course, Joel Hofer with a shutout. Fantastic stuff. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, goalie play was phenomenal. Joel Hofer made some exceptional saves. The other thing is he plays the puck out of the net fantastic, which helps shut down teams that are trying to do that dump and chase. I love that he does that, but it also sometimes he comes out of the net too much. So, bro, you got to find that happy medium.
Yeah.
Defense looked 180. Broberg, Falk, fantastic. Pareko, Suter, shut down. And then I loved Kessel and Pia.
Me too.
Phenomenal. Slap shots from the point, move the puck. Like, they only played 11 minutes, but God, let me tell you, it was phenomenal. And I can't say anything else better about them. You and I during the game, I was at that game and I was just texting. I was like, this is great. They're peppering. And I think for them, Sorokin kept them in that game. Like, we should have scored multiple goals that Sorokin had just freaking life-changing saves. But hell of a game.
Yeah. P.O. and Kessel were a big pinpoint. After you mentioned it, we were watching the same shift at the same time on TV, and I was like, Kessel and P.O. have to have 5 shots on net each this shift. Yeah. Like, holy shit. And we were getting rebound chances. We were fighting in the corners. I was like, this is great hockey right here. Like, finally. Holy cow. The last game, we didn't see any of it. Now one shift from these guys, it's like, let's go.
And the thing that we can't stress enough, they were getting the pucks on net. Yes. It's different just to take shots. They get blocked. They were finding the net, which is huge.
Yeah, and that's a skill. So at least we know that pairing can do it. And fantastic stuff. Happy that P.O. got his chance, and I think he's gonna keep his chance going if he keeps playing the way he has.
For sure.
It's gonna run through a shorter list of negatives, thank God. Back to the power play. Just, it's still one chance. Yeah, I get it, you know, but still. You look at it, you watch them play, too many cute passes, not enough shots on net, trying to make the perfect play happen. Like, eventually you just put it on net and get a dirty rebound goal. Like, I don't get it. And then we took 2 more penalties. That's not good either. You got to be disciplined. And this kind of ties it all together. Kyrou, Thomas, not producing since the first 2-3 games, just they're not locked in anymore. It's weird. Don't like it at all. It's a big part of how we're going to make the playoffs is Thomas and Kyrou being consistent, and they have looked lackluster these past few games.
Yeah, it's been bad, and they look disconnected. And then Thomas is frustrated, visibly frustrated during games, which is not a normal for him.
Yeah,
he holds himself to a high standard, you can tell, and it's bad right now.
He does. I think he's most frustrated that he's not playing with Buchnevich.
Yep.
I think that's his guy. I think that's the reason he got to 80-something points last year, and I think seeing Bush and Kyrou kind of connect on the road trip, he might have been a little like, fuck, I wish that was me too. But you can't, you know, hold a grudge against your GM. You just got to play. You're still playing first line minutes and you're playing with goal scorers still.
Yeah.
That's not like Brandon Saad can't score goals. It's not like Jake Neighbor can't score goals. It's not like this so-and-so and so on and so forth. You just got to make the plays anyway.
The only thing I will give him the defense aspect of, he's played with Holloway, Neighbors, Bull Duke, Kyrou, Saad, Booch, Shen, like 7 guys.
Like, but that all, yeah. But
that's hard.
It's hard, but it all ties together to us finding an identity and connections and chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, we're like 75% a brand new team.
Yeah.
And I think we found one line that is definitely should not be broken up, and that's Shen, Joseph, and Holloway.
Yeah.
The other lines, you know, let's figure it out. If Dvorsky comes up, bro, that's huge because we can move Bush back up because he needs to be with Thomas, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Things we should keep doing after this game. Win more face-offs.
Yeah, face-offs.
Yep. Great PK. It looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Brought the physicality. Love it. And then, of course, we played better zone coverage, like I mentioned, and then Joel Hofer got a fucking shutout. So if you can continue that, that's great.
Yeah.
You have anything to add?
Yeah, you know, I think sustained zone pressure. Like,
yeah,
we had periods of making changes on the fly, getting more guys in, rotating the puck, and keeping possession. That is the recipe for success. And I will preach this till the end of the year. Dump and chase, play in the corners, get to the dirty areas. We have to continue to do this and play gritty. Like, we're not going to outskill teams. We're not that team. We are move the puck, high to low, get the dirty rebounds, and put pucks behind the goalie off of second, third chances. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the rush chances aren't going to work unless it does. Yeah. But it shouldn't happen every fucking time. All right, things to work on. Power play. just more power play shit, man. It's got to click. We have so many pieces, and this is the chance that Thomas has to play with Bush. Let's fucking take advantage, right? At least for now. And then back to Thomas and Kyrie, you got to start contributing points consistently. You can't just start looking like chum out there. You looked great on the road trip early in the season. Now what's happening? Come on, wake up. You got it. You're superstar players. At least we think you are. You're getting paid like them. Yep. Let's do it. Let's run through Hofer's official stats. He's at this time, he was 2-0. He got his one shutout, and he has 1.98 goals against with a .937 save percentage. Let's go, kiddo. That's great for a backup. He is the first NHL goalie to record a shutout and an assist on the only goal of the game. It's amazing. There's 155 instances of the shutout and an assist for a goalie, but none in one goal games until now. So he literally was the player of the game. And then Broberg. We could have an entire episode
of
Broberg and how much it's making Edmonton fans cry. He's the first, at this time, first Blues defenseman to get a point in five straight games to start their Blues career. He's the first Blues defenseman to start their regular season with a point in five straight games since Petrangelo in 2017. That's good company.
Yep.
One more game with a point that ties Steve Duchesne's record of six. Spoiler alert, he does it. He has not been on the ice for goals against. Now, I don't know if that changed in this newest game.
It did.
I think it did.
It was not 5-on-5. So it was a penalty kill. So he is still without a goal 5-on-5 play, which is huge.
That is unreal. And not only was Broberg on that list, Falk was too.
Yeah.
So this pairing is locked in on defense. You love to see it. That's exactly what you want from your defenders. Okay. Last game, the most recent game yesterday. You went to this one as well, sir.
Yeah. Lucky you. I am currently 3-for-3 on the home stand and will be attending Tuesday against the Jets. So yeah. I am spoiled this year. So
2-1 record so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell of a game.
Hell of a game. You take this one over. This is mostly you.
Yeah. So we win this game 4-3. It was a lot closer on the score sheet than it should have been. A rough first period again. Seems to be our status quo. Second period, I don't know what they said, but holy shit, came out and look like a new team. I mean, the biggest thing is they played for each other more during this game than they have in any other game. They stood up for each other, and Dylan Holloway finally got rewarded for the continuous dump and chase plays and driving the net. So that's my biggest takeaway. Dylan Holloway, man.
Yeah.
You're just getting better game by game. And Edmonton, yeah, you look stupid for not signing Broberg. This game made you look really stupid for not giving $2.5 million for Dylan Holloway. Come on. Like, the young guys are just progressing. And Matthew Joseph, man, I love him. He's a stud.
Yeah.
And then the next thing, Hofer. Hofer keeps us in that game yet again. But there's one issue. Power play was shit again. Fix the power play.
To me, it's just baffling.
Yeah.
I don't know how the power play's so bad. Actually, I do. I do know. Because they are too fucking cute with it. Just do the high to low. Find the open man. There's an open man. You have one extra man. He's open. Find him. If there's not a pass there, pass it back. It's simple as that. If you don't get a, if you don't find a set play within 10 seconds of the power play, just shoot it. Just how about that? You'll automatically get three or four shots on the power play if you just do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm not a coach. I just, I'm a fan watching.
But Bannister is a phenomenal power play coach. That's what's driving me nuts too, is that Bannister knows how to run a power play.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. I just think the players don't, I just don't think they listen.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think Thomas and Kyrie want to do it. Which sucks. But I agree. Great game. First period, shit. Second period, not so shit. Actually, really, really good. And then the start of the third period, I was like, oh no, here we go again.
Yep.
But then Joel Hofer happened. He kept us in the game. The game-winning goal was sick. It was kind of a broken little play. And a, there's your guy,
Kasperi.
He found it, made a nice move, power move, speedy move, cut back, backhand, forehand, top cheese. And he says he that's what he does. That's what he said in the post-game interview. Backhand, forehand, top shelf. That's what I do. So fucking badass to say that. The game overall was fun. I have to make the point. In the previous game, I forgot to mention it. The Islanders are overtime loss merchants, yeah. and they will be for years to come. I just had to say that. Anyways, back to the Hurricanes. They looked good too. It's a very, very good team. For the Blues to come out and play the way they did in the second period and just dominate them completely was fucking awesome and refreshing to see. Gives us some hope as fans, especially after a bad game on that Tuesday. But yeah, I agree. Power play needs to step it up. Keep doing the old dump and chase. That's how we scored bulk of our goals. Things to work on, power play, and yeah, I don't really have anything else to say.
I think the one thing I will say is that Thomas did leave the end of that game hurt.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Pretty dirty cross-check by Svechnikov. Yeah. He basically had to be dragged off to the side by Ray Barilli. He did skate off on his own accord, but Braden Schenn was just wailing punches at the end of that game. Also, what I would like to add, Joel Hofer jumped in and was fighting people and grabbing people. Yeah. So, really an uncalled for play, but everyone was in there. Three stars I would like to mention of this game. Hofer. I really love the game of Jake Neighbors during that game, and then Dylan Holloway. All three of those guys had a hell of a game. And then Broberg. Guy that we have not talked about, Zachary Bolduc is getting better.
Yeah.
Game by game. Like, I questioned him a lot in that Minnesota game, but the Islanders and then the Carolina game, he was taking hits to make plays. He got wrecked. He popped right back up, got back in the play, and that's huge. So, big thing is we're getting better. And, guys, we're six games in. We're sitting here like we're 30 games in, and we're six. The power play will get fixed. I'm not worried. And I think a lot of that will have to do with just letting guys play on the same lines. Stop shuffling every 30 seconds. But give me a Texier back in this lineup, and I think some issues are solved for offensive issues. And let hopefully Thomas is fine. I haven't seen any updates that he's hurt or out. So we'll see. We need Thomas for this game against the Jets. That's going to be huge. But Thomas was vocally frustrated and did not want to come off the ice during power plays, penalty kills, or line changes. So he wants it. So he will figure it out. I think we're probably looking at a 90-point season. I don't know if we're going to break 100 at this rate. but time will tell.
Yeah. I just think he's frustrated at himself.
Yeah.
He's missed some grade A chances. He hasn't made good passes. He's got to lock it in. He will. He's just got to stop being so hard on himself. Start having fun, man. Start having fun. It's what we say to all the kids playing these types of sports. Like, just have fun. And that's when you start winning. And winning is more fun. Yeah, so solid week of Blues hockey. Joel Hofer locked the fuck in. He's my star of the week. And then, of course, Broberg's a close second. He is on pace to, like, compete with Makar for the Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
Not saying anything. It's 6 games in, but he has 6 points in 6 games. He looks so good defensively with Justin Falk. He needs to play more minutes.
Well, and here's
the thing. He's playing only like 20. He needs to play like 23,
in my opinion. I think we ease him in. But at this point, if he plays 19 to 20 minutes, he puts up 40 points. In the last 20 years, I think BK and Ferrario were saying that's Makar, Quinn Hughes, Heiskanen, Drew Doughty. Like, he will be in stellar company. So, Blues fans, if he continues to progress, we found our top guy.
I think so.
I don't know if we're jumping the gun. I don't care.
I don't care either.
I am on the Broberg train until I'm not, and I don't see myself hopping off. He is my next jersey. I already told Mike, Broberg, I'm buying your jersey, my guy. You are the next one I will buy.
Yeah, it's always good having a solid defenseman that actually, like, makes the great play every time.
Hockey IQ out of this world.
Yeah, he's just a great player, and he's only 23, so he's going to get better, as we can hope. Next game.
Tuesday. Where are we at? Tuesday.
Next game.
Yep, Tuesday against the Jets, and then we go on a road trip.
Long road trip. It's like Toronto, Montreal, and then a couple East Coasters, and then we're back home against Toronto on the 2nd of November.
Yeah.
I think it's like a 4 or 5 game road trip. Anyways, good start. Blues are 4-2. Some positives, some negatives. Of course, we mentioned some things to work on. We'll see if we can lock it in for a little streak against some good teams coming up. We get the beat in Toronto against Berube. And then he's here. And I can't wait to hear that ovation when he's here. It's going to be great. Yeah. I don't have anything else. I think we covered it in under an hour, surprisingly.
No. And bear with us, folks. We're both a little bit under the weather, but we're still doing what we love, and we're only going to get better from here. So we do love you guys, and we appreciate you listening and tuning in each week.
Yes, much love to you all. If you haven't, go follow us on all of our social media accounts. We're pretty close to 100 on Instagram. Yep. That is awesome. Over 50 on Twitter. You know, we're on TikTok, YouTube, anything you want, man. We're there. And make sure to listen to us on Apple and Spotify and watch us on YouTube, of course. And let's go, Blues. Josh, I love you, buddy.
Let's go, Blues.